Session 1. Why Family Worship? In this first session, we're going to discuss why to practice family worship in your home. I don't want to assume that we're all on the same page about why this is important and the benefit that it will bring to your family. So I want to start just by giving you 3 reasons to start prioritizing family worship now. Number 1, children learn through habits. Question: have any of your children ever learned anything the first time you said it? Absolutely not. No matter how clear of a communicator you are, you've probably had to repeat some really important things over and over and over and over again for your children to really understand. Am I right? Children, any human being for that matter, never learn really important things with one quick take. And the most important lessons must be reinforced, not just with repetition, but with habits and routines. Teaching our children anything requires a lot of repetition over time. So let's bake that repetition into the routines and the rhythms of our lives. Let's make sure we prioritize God's word enough for our children to understand its priority. When family worship is a daily habit, you are guaranteeing that your children will hear God's word at least once a day. Gathering every day for family worship will constantly be teaching your children of the central place that God and His Word have in your home and in your lives. So if you want your children to learn and love God's Word, make it a daily routine for your family to read the Bible, pray, and sing together, so that your children will never know a day when God's Word was not proclaimed over them. Make family worship a habit, because that's the only way children learn the most important lessons. 3 reasons to prioritize family worship. Number 1, children learn through habits. Number 2, Christians have always practiced family worship. I will give you this. There is no command in the Bible that I could point to. There is no verse that I could point to that says you must have family worship every night. But what I can point to is the consistent testimony of Christians throughout the entire history of the church advocating for family worship or similar practices as essential for the well-being of a Christian home. Let me just give you a few examples here. John Chrysostom, who lived in the 4th and 5th centuries AD, spoke of every Christian family as a little church which necessarily worshiped together. And that was not a new idea for him. This is what Christians believed at the time. And the reformer Martin Luther, very much influenced by Chrysostom and others, picked up on this idea that every Christian family is a little church. And as the scriptures became readily available in the common language again, Luther urged parents to bring it into their homes, to proclaim it over their children. And he put it this way: any godly and pious head of a household instructs his children in godliness. Therefore, such a house is actually a school and church, and the head of the household is a bishop and priest in his house. The Westminster Confession of Faith, completed in 1647, demands that God be worshipped everywhere. Here's a quote. The confessors wrote that, quote, God is to be worshipped everywhere, in spirit and in truth, as in private families daily, and in secret, each one by himself. Now, there's a very important theme there. There's a very important comparison that the Westminster confessors are making here. They're saying that family worship is just as important as private worship, that family devotions are just as important as personal devotions. In other words, it's just as important to read the Bible to your family and to your children as it is to read the Bible by yourself. Let me read that quote for you one more time. God is to be worshipped everywhere in spirit and in truth, as in private families daily, and in secret each one by himself. Matthew Henry, the great Puritan commentator on the Bible, lived in the 17th and 18th centuries, and he explained that family worship has three distinct elements, just like I mentioned earlier. He said, quote, "They that pray in the family do well. They that pray and read the scriptures do better. But they that pray and read and sing do best of all." Charles Spurgeon, in the 1800s, believed that family worship was crucial for leaving a lasting legacy of faith. Here's how he put it when he was teaching parents. "If we want to bring up a godly family who shall be a seed to serve God when our heads are under the clods of the valley, let us seek to train them up in the fear of God by meeting together as a family for worship." And Spurgeon himself lived this commitment out by prioritizing daily family worship. And the man was in charge of a growing church. He had a big preaching and publishing ministry. He was responsible for funding and overseeing dozens and dozens of ministries and benevolences. And despite that busy schedule and his incredibly demanding schedule, he prioritized family worship every single day. And people would say about him, "You want to know where Mr. Spurgeon is at 6 p.m. every night? He's with his family in the study, reading the Bible to them." Spurgeon prioritized it. I hope that we will too. So this is just an impossibly quick summary with just a few highlights. And I hope that it shows you that Christians from every major era of the church and from various points along the denominational spectrum have prioritized family worship. And I hope we will prioritize it too. So three reasons to prioritize family worship. Number one, children learn through habits. Number two, Christians have always practiced family worship. And number three, God's word never returns void. We know and believe that God's word is powerful. Just think about what God has done in your own life through his word. He has brought you to salvation. He has taught you to fight sin in every form. He has shaped you into the image of his Son. He has drawn your affections to love him more truthfully. God has been doing astounding work in your life through his word. And if you want God to do that kind of work in your children, start by regularly exposing them to the wonderful word of God. Here's the thing. God wants to do an incredible work in the life of your family, and he's going to do it through his word. I want to say that again because it's very important. God wants to do an incredible work in the life of your family, and he's going to do it through his word. For God to work in your family does not require cleverness or excessive creativity from you. It merely requires you to open God's word, which is indeed living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you make a regular practice of family worship, I can guarantee that God is going to do some incredible, miraculous things in the life of your family. Why can I guarantee that? Not because I have some prophecy about your family in particular, but because God's word never returns void. When God's word is opened, lives are transformed. So by leading our families in daily family worship, we get to play a part in that transforming work of God. God is going to do an incredible work in the life of your family, and he's going to do it through his word as you open the Bible in family worship.